this episode of Modern Practice, we'll continue our discussion about how to develop a safe culture and what it means to staff and patients alike. I'm your host, Dr. Tomas Villanueva, Senior Principal for Operations and Quality at Vizient and Practicing Internist. Joining me is Christina Collada, Associate Principal of Reliability and Management Systems at Vizient, and Dr. Elizabeth Mack, Principal of Reliability and Management Systems at Vizient. Christina, Elizabeth, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
Thanks for having us.
In the last episode, we talked about a culture of psychological safety and what it means to an organization that aspires to be a high reliability organization. How can becoming a high reliability organization help retain workforce? What do you think, Christina?
The concepts of HRO are really wonderful and admirable, great qualities that most employees would like, and any employer, even if you're not in an HRO industry. And these are things like we've talked about before, psych safety, deference to expertise, high quality leadership behaviors, being treated with respect, having trust, giving trust, an environment that looks at learning and knowledge versus applying blame. And in this day and age, when employees have options on where they want to go to work, and if all things are equal as far as pay and benefits, if that's competitive, you have a better chance of retaining and attracting employees if they know that they're stepping into that type of an HRO environment and they know what that HRO environment can give to them. We'll just be real here for a minute. Word of mouth is extremely powerful. So nurses and other healthcare workers, they talk. They know which employers are good to work for. They know which ones are not good to work for. And in this day and age, when you have social media platforms like Glassdoor and Indeed and a host of other sites, the candidate market, they know who's a quality employer and who's really difficult to work for. So if you're committing to HRO principles, though, even if you're at the beginning stages, not only will you transform your organization from the inside out, but then you give yourself a competitive advantage in the market if you're able to advertise that you have HRO principles and what those HRO principles are. So if I were recruiting for roles or if I was a hiring manager inside of healthcare, I would be putting out what those principles are in job postings and advertisements and job fairs, nursing, medical schools. And I look at a lot of job postings in healthcare and they're very bland. They're written like a job description, not extremely appealing. Why would I want to go work there versus another place? And so if you put that, hey, we are really trying to transform. We have these different behaviors. You're going to have a great, healthy experience and joy and work by coming to here and hear all the reasons why. You do get that leg up. There's also huge bottom line effects when employees are highly engaged, including things like less medical errors and operational costs. And if you have that, you can transfer those costs to other things, other better investments, other improvements that employees will continue to reap the benefits of instead of us spending money on costly mistakes. And so we're not doing a wonderful job on advertising today. And even if you are an HRO, and advertising that back internally to employees. Do employees know what you're trying to achieve? Do they know what you're aspiring to be? And are you really demonstrating that you have those values and letting those employees feel that? And so that's, I think, a little bit of a way that I can help retain and attract employees in this competitive market.
So what are some ways we can embed these concepts into a daily life?
Yeah, thank you for that. So remember, we're on a journey. We're on the HR journey and we're only human. And so I think it's important to lead with practicing humility, inviting feedback, creating space for wild new ideas, sharing genuine gratitude for input, and then incorporating some of those ideas when you can, facilitating positive leader walkarounds, as we mentioned before, briefing and debriefing. And I would say transparency is huge, being transparent whenever possible. I also think it's important to ask people how they want to receive feedback and how they want to receive praise, ideally in advance of the need for either, but not everybody likes public praise. And then giving people agency as much as possible. As Christina mentioned before, people crave input and influence on the things that affect them. So as they say, we'd rather be at the table than on the table. So I think that's incredibly important.
I can only imagine that having a safe and healthy culture has an impact on patient experience, but what about business outcomes?
Yeah, there is a real ROI here. There is a real science to this, and safety culture improves performance and patient outcomes bottom line. This is well published. And we can measure culture of safety and specifically psych safety. Now, that is also not just a soft feeling, but very measurable. We have a culture of safety survey called SCORE, And there are several domains that measure psych safety in there specifically. So questions like, for example, is it easy for personnel here to ask questions when there is something that they don't understand? Also, in this work setting, is it difficult to discuss errors? And then folks would, you know, rate their response to that. SCORE is well validated. The psych safety scale exhibits robust psychometric properties and is associated with improved well-being. And this was recently published in the journal Patient Safety. And as Christina said, retention, patient outcomes, all very well published. There's real ROI in this. So it's not just, oh, it feels good to work there. And you can imagine what would follow from that. But also in the healthcare space, this has a real impact on the patient care. And you can imagine that, right? If you're the patient in the operating room, you certainly want your team to everyone in that room, no matter their role, to feel comfortable speaking up if they even are possibly concerned that something could go wrong. You don't want it to be definite, right? You want them to speak up no matter what.
So this stuff isn't squishy. It's not feel good. There's direct outcomes effect and not only operational, but revenue, if you will, as well. Any parting thoughts?
Having bad culture or culture that's on the decline is kind of like a thief in the night where you may not totally realize how much damage is actually done and you may not even realize that it's happening. But as time goes on, you start to realize and see how much is actually taken in the collective financial loss that's being suffered, but then also the loss that employees are feeling as far as now they don't have as much psych safety and they don't have a lot of control over their environment and not having joy in the work they do, causing them to go look for other places. But when you're running a business, leaders typically want to see that there's a direct impact to a bottom line and one that they can calculate quickly and get a big bang for their buck. And in this, it's not always easy to quantify, but now that we have research and now that we have really tight psychometrics and studies that are actually showing the correlations between these things and operational and clinical outcomes, now we're able to actually show and prove that these otherwise squishy concepts really do have quite the impact on the bottom line. And if I'm being just totally honest, have you ever either seen or directly worked for an organization that had a toxic environment with bad culture that had really great employee retention, really great employee engagement, impressively strong clinical operational outcomes, and high degrees of patient satisfaction and financial success? I know in my years of consulting and in working in human resources and healthcare, I have not seen that. And so there's no downside to focusing on those things. And the cost is not astronomical, especially as you begin just to transform some of the behaviors for culture. So why not do it?
Elizabeth, as a fellow physician, this was not the way we were educated. I'd love to hear your perspective on how to take this to scale among our colleagues.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. And, you know, I was fortunate to have had several good mentors in this space along the way. Honestly, I've learned a ton from Christina and her HR brain as I've joined here in terms of the science around it. And I do think that we have science brains that are wired around data. And when Christina and our team are going to talk to clinical folks, we have to be prepared with the data. And so I think that's one approach. I also think it's important to have people reflect on the environments that they enjoy working in and what do those look like and what are the factors that make it fun to work in that space and make it a better environment for their patients. And then finally, I would say, above all, patients have to be at the center of our equation in healthcare. And if you are in the space of patient and family engagement, which is one of my most fun areas of work, we have to design our systems in a way that makes sense for them, not for us. And this is what they need. This is what they crave. This is what we want, if it's one of us or if it's our loved ones in the hospital or in the clinic or on the operating room table. This is the environment that we need. And so I'm honored to be a part of it and to be able to work with Christina and others in this space who've taught me a ton.
This was very, very good. Very, very good. Christina, Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining us. And to our listeners, you can contact Elizabeth or Christina at their email addresses in the resource section in our podcast page. And if you have additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send us your comments, please contact me in our email, modernpracticepodcast@vizientinc.com. And please join us for other Modern Practice Podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And now, I'm Dr. Tomas Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.